I can see how people die up there because you rely, I mean, I did it, I did so myself. Like you rely so heavily on oxygen. And if you have to wait a long time and you don't, and if your crew isn't as experienced and they're not, or you don't pay for enough bottles, like all of a sudden you run out way sooner, and then you just go sit down somewhere and you end up a statistic, and you people are walking over your body on their neck on their quest for the summit.
Following is a conversation with Matt Irving. He's a friend of mine who just returned from the south side of Mount Everest to film Lhakpa Sherpa's historic 10th ascent by a woman on the mountain. I hope you'll take a minute to click subscribe, to like, and to share this video with people that you think might be interested. It's my goal to try to bring you interesting stories from Mount Everest and exploration and film. And Matt is one of my friends whom I met through the film industry. And I don't take it lightly, the great honor of having the opportunity to actually get paid to go climb this incredible mountain and spend time with and meet incredible and talented people. This is kind of an interesting take on the Everest story. Matt is, if you will, kind of an unwilling, or I wouldn't necessarily say unwilling, but he certainly doesn't lay awake dreaming of going to Mount Everest. He's a professional director of photography, professional cameraman, super talented photographer, and he's been hired now on two occasions to go to Everest, and now just happens to be one of the few people who have actually summited twice, and from both the north and the south. So it's a pretty interesting and enlightening story about the mountain, about somebody who goes there and kind of looks at it with a more discerning eye. And I find it refreshing that Matt goes there not really relishing the idea of going and participating in, as he calls it later, the conga line. I really wanted to bring this interview, and the cool part of it is there are still people on the mountain right now, and Matt is home after a successful expedition. So here's a really cool interview with the humble, talented, great guy, Matt Irving. Enjoy.
So you got to base camp, and essentially you're filming Lhakpa Sherpa's hopefully historic 10th ascent by a woman. And as a cameraman, you're given this like, try to get this shot, try to get that shot. And in base camp, getting a shot is one thing, but up on the mountain during who knows what's going to happen. It is like a crapshoot up there.
But I was fortunate enough to be part of a much larger, like a larger crew. There was like five or six, five people. And I didn't really have to, my primary focus was the top. So all the stuff up to base camp was shot by this guy, Devin Whetstone, who's brilliant. He's like a really good filmmaker and DP. And
Amazing. Good.
I shot a few things, you know, I've shot some drone stuff and, you know, other stuff, but yeah, I didn't really have to put a lot of energy into that. And it was more just like, because in
Focus.
2019, we got our asses beat because we're just
Oh.
like running around filming all the time. So I was definitely fortunate to have this crew and like,
Yeah, well, Renan wasn't running the gig, and he didn't have five cameras running 24/7 every
yeah,
day.
but the name of the game up there is just it's the long game. You're up there for the marathon. And so
Yeah.
if you push super hard early on, I think it's you're just setting yourself up to be totally fucked over
Yeah.
because it's all about pacing, I think. My limited knowledge, you know, I've only been up there a couple times, but it just feels like in 2019, Renan went super hard, and I think he kind of paid the price for that. And there were definitely times I remember that he would ask me to go do something, and I'd just go, "Yeah, no, I'm gonna rest."
It well, look at so you've been there twice and two summits in two trips, north and south. So you've done the rarities, like climbing it twice is one thing, and that's still not that many people have done it, but twice now from each side. Wow, man, you've got quite the Everest resume on two trips. Have you
I guess
retired from Everest, or now are you the man in demand?
I'm retired until somebody comes with a project where they can pay me more. Because
Yes.
it's you don't feel good. Like you finish a project and you're just like, man, I don't feel great. This is terrible. And I'm never going to do this again. But then somebody's like, well, hey, you know, what if we do this? And you're like, okay. Or if you don't have anything going on, you're like, oh yeah, I guess.
Yep. It's just the minute, every time I've ever said I'm never going back again, it's like I get a text message an hour later. Hey, we're thinking, I'll be like, oh my gosh, just never quit. And then
I think the trick is you just throw out like a really big number.
Yeah.
So that like, if you don't get it, you're like, well, that's okay. They weren't going to pay me this. But
yeah,
the problem is that you throw out a big number sometimes and then they're like, yeah, okay, that's fine.
I know. Yeah.
And then you find yourself not training. It's kind of an off the couch ascent. But do you know what? I don't feel like at no point could I ever do that without the help of the Sherpas. Like me by myself, it's a ridiculous thought to think that I could just go up there and do it. But you just have so much help and support. And it's like, it's a group effort. It's never just one person.
Well, tell me about that. So you had a lot of Sherpa support, a lot of film team support, and yeah. And essentially everything, it sounds like, was focused on keeping Lakpa healthy, rested,
yeah,
and motivated. I don't think motivation would be a factor with her, but and so when you left base camp, you probably figured it was the first of a few rotations up the mountain. Kind of lay that out for me.
Yeah.
Get me to the point where you didn't think that you knew that you weren't going to come back down until the summit bit had happened.
Yeah, I mean, similar to the north side, you know, you get up to about 22, 23, you get up to 23 and you North Col on the north side and you're like, and you go back down to base camp. And we did that in 2019. We did that so many times. Was it three? We had like three rotations.
Yeah.
And this time, you know, we're going up and we get through the ice fall. That's terrible and terrifying. And then camp one to camp two was awful because we left too late. So it was like the middle of the day and we got just ass blasted by the sun. And then you're up at camp two and you're acclimatized. And I felt pretty good. I think there was one day that I was just like super lethargic.
21,000 feet at camp two. Yeah.
Yeah. At 21. And then we go up to camp. The idea in my mind was that we go up to camp three, kind of just touch it. And then we go back down to base camp. And I'm like, okay, cool. That's fine. We'll get a rotation in. And Lakpa's like, yeah, I'm not going back down to the ice fall. So the way she had set up her schedule, she's like, yeah, I'm just going to wait here for like 5 days and I'm going to go for the summit. So it's like, well, if I go down,
oh yeah,
I'm not really going to have enough time to like rest and then come back up. So instead I just, luckily we had, you know, extra oxygen. And at night I just slept on 0.5 liters and kind of thought that that would help me recover. And I think that's, without knowing anything scientific about that, that feels like a way to recover if you're not going to go down.
Mm-hmm.
Cause you sleep really well and you're just resting and,
yeah.
So I slept for maybe two nights on oxygen and then we started going for the summit and I don't know anything about anything. So I'm just like, I'm just along for the ride, you know. If Lakpa doesn't make it, then I don't make it. You right. know, my goal isn't the summit. My goal is to follow Lakpa. So, and that's, right. I think,
yeah,
that's how it's always been for me. In 2019, our goal wasn't the summit. Our goal was, my goal specifically was to follow Mark Sinnott. And if Mark were to go down, I wouldn't just take off and go to the summit. I would just go down because who cares? I don't really care.
Yeah. Well, that's probably your strongest suit is that I really think you don't care. And that's actually a beautiful thing. There's so many people who are like, well, if she goes down, I'm going to try to find a way to go up because I'm not coming here for not having a shot at the summit. I mean, people insane.
To me, I get paid the same. So like I can get paid to do less work. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's not right. go up and feel that's like right. shit.
Yeah. So tell me, you get up to camp three, which is 23,000 feet on the Lhotse face. That is, to me, was a very uncomfortable camp, but truly one of the most beautiful views outside, looking out toward Cho Oyu of any camp I've ever been on. And it takes the sun forever to set up there. So you have a
And it sets in the valley, and then the sun comes down, and it's the fog rolls in, and it's it's beautiful. We jumped on oxygen at camp three the second time we were up there. So we didn't jump on it immediately, but we slept on it at camp three. And then from camp three to the summit, we were just on oxygen. And I mean, I have so much respect for people that do it without, because it's hard.
Oh yeah, it is. It's more hard than anything to do it with.
It's a huge time commitment, and it's just a large amount of time that you're not feeling good.
So you get to the South Col, and that's 26,000 feet, 8,000 meters, essentially. You're in the death zone, the big South Col. What, like, kind of lay that out for me. Was it crowded? Was there garbage? Was it a...
I mean, there's garbage. Yeah. Camp two, there's garbage. You know, camp three, not so much, just because it's so tentative on that. With all those seracs and camp four, lots of garbage. But we get up there, and the way that we had kind of timed it, we were gonna try and get the specific weather window. I think the night of the 11th, we had got intel that the weather was gonna be good. And I think the summit was good, but the coal was so windy that it kind of zapped everybody. And we get up there, and there, you know, we have to crawl into a random tent because the tents aren't set up, and we get the tent set up, and I'm helping with the tent and not being able to film because I'm helping with the tent. And we get in there, and it's super, super windy. And instead of going for the summit, we decide to just stay the night. And I'm thinking that we're going to go down.
Yeah.
Cause I thought Lhakpa was like done, cause it was just so terrible. And so in my mind, I'm like, oh, hell yeah.
We're out of here.
This is it. I'll be able to film the turnaround moment. And we had the shittiest night of sleep up at camp four, you know. I was really uncomfortable. The wind is just like battering the tent, and I'm on the side that's getting pummeled. So it's like, good. And the next morning I remember Lhakpa, you know, being like, yeah, I'm going to go for the summit. We'll just go tonight. I didn't do much filming that day. I like literally would just hold up a GoPro because we didn't really leave the tent. They would have a conversation, and I'm like, I'll just lift up a GoPro and call it good. And I was like, the night before, I was having trouble with my camera. Like, my camera wasn't working properly, and so I was stressed out about that. And I was thinking to myself, like, great, you know, the camera's broken, and I'm just gonna have a GoPro on the summit. That's stupid. But I got it working, and then I didn't sleep anything. The next day, she decides to go, and I was like, all right, you know, let's do this. But it's really not that far. It's only like under 3,000 vert to get to the summit.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's steep. It's like right up to it and right down. I mean, there is the ridge, but
up into that point, you know, Lhakpa has like one speed. She'll go forever, but she has one speed. And I think thankfully my speed is my first gear is faster than her first gear.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm able to hike in front and then get set up to shoot and then shoot her. And then she gets in front of me, and then I follow her for a little bit, and then I pass and I go get in front. And on that, we started up from camp four, and immediately we're in like a line, which I don't hate because it's slow and you can just hang out.
Yeah.
And as long as like your system is working and you have oxygen, like it's fine.
Yeah.
And I remember looking down. I had a moment like this in 2019 up on the summit ridge, but it was like, it's quiet. There's, you're in the line, it's slow. You're just kind of standing there waiting for people to move. And out behind me, you're looking down into the expanse below, and there's thunderstorms in the distance. And it's just like the most beautiful. That to me was more beautiful than the summit. It's just like seeing this, having this quiet little moment. But we moved up slowly. I filmed, you know, here and there. After a while, it all kind of looks, you know, filming at the bottom is pretty similar to filming at the top. So I didn't film a ton there. I filmed a handful of scenes, a few scenes. But she wasn't really talkative. She was pretty quiet and focused. You could see, like, from the start of the trip, she's super talkative, but then as the trip goes on, like, her focus kind of goes to this, and it becomes this laser pointer. And she didn't shut down. She just wasn't super talkative. And so I filmed what I could, and then we just keep motoring along, keep moving up. I was always kind of psyched to get to these little log jams, because then I could just
rest,
stand there. Yeah, I could rest and not feel like I'm doing something wrong. It's like, well, I can't really pass people. But yeah. You know what? The Full Circle Everest team, that all black team, was up there too. And they were, goddamn, they were passing everybody. And like, they had two filmmakers that were Sherpas that we were just stuck in the line, and these two guys with cameras just like kind of run by me. Like they were like running up the hill, and I was immediately jealous,
but not envious at the same time.
Jealous, but not envious. Yeah. It's such a weird, the line, getting in the line, and you're looking down, and there's all these people that just, they want the same thing. They just want to get up on top. And so we get up to the step.
The Hillary
probably step. Probably about six. Yeah, Hillary step. We summited around 7, maybe a little bit before 7. So I saw the sun rise along the step. Wow. And it was just about like getting in front of Lakpa and shooting a little bit, and then getting in front and shooting. And I don't know, you're just so focused on like staying in front, because more than anything, like, I was just so focused on filming the summit that I didn't want to ruin any chances of me not being able to be there. So I probably was a little bit more conservative with shooting than I should have been, but up there, man, you never know. And I just would have hated to been able, like, to not be at the summit. And You let your mind kind of take over, and you get inside your head, and then you're like, I got to stay in front. And then you probably miss some moments that would be really beautiful, but you're just, I don't know. I should have stayed a little bit closer, I think. But
so I think the longer away shot, at least there's a clearance on the ridge, and there's like no human beings dotting it. But
but now there's like some stupid weather station up on the... It was like a Rolex Nat Geo thing. And you get up on this, one of the most iconic ridgelines on the planet, and there's a goddamn tiny little weather station there that ruins your view. And you're like, do we really need to have a weather station right here?
It's actually a pretty good point. And then in China, 1 week in it before that, they did one almost the exact altitude.
I heard they did it. There's a little bit higher.
Oh, is it really? And earlier. And D-Chan, I think, was on that
team. I can't imagine like getting up on that, on the north side, getting up on that ridge, and then just seeing a stupid weather station.
Like, yeah. Is it to save lives? Honestly,
it's a dick swinging contest. You can look up and see the jet stream raking all the snow off and go, yeah, okay, we probably shouldn't be up there.
Yeah, But let's check the weather forecast on the weather.
Well, let me look at my app and let me double. Oh, the winds are actually slightly higher than I thought.
Oh my gosh. So the weather station, and now, so the scene on the summit, is Lakpa there alone, or is it a two?
No, I was
with her main partner, friend, or climbing
partner. I got up there, and it's a zoo up there. Yeah. There was like 50 people on the summit. Ugh. So much different than 2019. It was so much. 2019 was so, there was solitude, and there was this beautiful experience, and you get up there and you're just like, everybody's up there with their goddamn GoPros on their poles, you know, promoting their mental agility app. And it's like, I was filming her, and there was just this moment, like she's still motoring up, you know, going pretty slow, taking a few steps, resting.
Yeah.
And as she's coming up, there's just like people all over the place, kind of milling around.
So she gets up to the, so you're there, and it's a mob scene, and you hope that her down suit is a different color, so you can separate her from the.
You can see her. She has a specific regulator, she has a specific mask, and it's pretty easy to tell who it is. But it's just too bad, because if we would have gone up the day before, it would have been just us.
Mm.
But you know, we shared that experience with a bunch of other people, and. You know, it was nice to see her once she hit the summit. She definitely like went from here to like, opened up. And yeah, it was good to see her up top. She worked so hard for it. She deserved it.
And so was there like a little interview? Did you have a shotgun microphone? Okay. How do you feel? Or did you just like kind of were?
No, I stepped back and I let her do what she was going to do. I imagine that they probably wanted me to like talk to her, but there was so much chaos surrounding her. It's like, I think in my mind, it would make more sense to talk about that later and then just cut that in instead of just the chaos up top. I don't know. It was, it was gross.
Yeah. So how long were you up there?
Oh, like 20 minutes, I think. I did go peek over. I really enjoyed going to peek over and look down onto the north side.
Yeah.
And kind of like reminisce about, I'm like, in my mind, I'm like thinking about how I came up from there. And that was really nice to see down onto that side. But I didn't really recognize it. It was like my brain must have been kind of foggy back then, because I looked down and I was like, oh, I don't remember coming up this last little slope, but you know, obviously I did.
Well, and then there was obviously, I don't think anybody was coming up from the north, because the Chinese, it was just the Chinese this year again.
Oh, really? I didn't know. I didn't hear about any of that. Yeah.
And our friend D Chen, I think, summited. It was probably his seventh summit or something.
I did find, and I don't know this, it's probably not old. Oh. I did find a little piton in the ice fall. I was just walking around and I found a piton.
Oh, look at that.
It's probably not old, but I,
it might
was
be
interesting. I took, if it might
was
be
in the ice fall.
I understand why Lakpa didn't want to go back down through the ice fall, because there's a lot of uncertainty, and you can go in the morning and stuff. When we were coming down, waiting at a spot, like a 30-ton block just broke off right in front of us. And it's like,
oh,
okay. It could happen, you know, at any point. And
oh,
it's just, I feel like I'm not a risk taker. I take some risks, but it's like, they're more calculated and stuff. And that's one where I'm like, you know, you can try and mitigate by going early in the morning. And that's kind of all the risk. That's all you can do. You're leaving yourself up to a lot of chance, I think. And
you've got a good Everest resume, and probably and you do two tries,
two for two.
That's better than most people can say.
Well, I think you know, The first one was a fluke, I think. I don't know how that happened.
Yeah.
And then the second one, you know, it's just, you just have such a solid group and a good weather window. And it's like Mi'kmaq and Lhakba, like that's, they have such an intimate knowledge of that mountain that I put a lot of trust in their hands to help me get to the top. And I think that trust is well deserved. And hopefully I never have to do it again.
Just as long as you got good pictures and you don't have to go back.
It's hard to make anything look good when there's 5,000 people in your shot. It's like, how do you make this look super cool?
Yeah.
In a conga line up from Camp 4.
Yeah.
Coming down, it was so interesting to see, like, coming from technical climbing. Like we coming down, we got kind of stuck, bottlenecked, and there was a bunch of people coming up, and to just see like the inexperience of people that are going to the summit, that you looking at like their Jumar setup, and there's like five carabiners attached to the Jumar, and you're like, what? What are these for? What are you doing? And to just see like these people that have no bit. Okay. This sounds elitist, but
it's not like, elitist.
They have no business being there. There's no, their liability, I guess, like they're putting the Sherpas' lives in jeopardy because of their inexperience. And it's just some ego thing, you know, you pay a lot of money and the Sherpa's like, yeah, I'll drag your ass to the top. When we were coming down, there was this older gentleman. He looked
my age.
Probably your age. He was ancient. He was ancient, but he was kind of coming up and it looked like he was having trouble with his mask, and he like took his mask off. And I kind of look back and all the Sherpas are like, no, put your mask back on. But he didn't. And then you could see that he was still focused on going up, but he was like, he had his mask off at 28,000 feet. And he was, I messaged Lindsay later that when I got back down, I was like, hey, who died today? Because I was certain that
he was gonna
die. But I thought for sure he was gonna die. He didn't, turns out. I don't know if he summoned it, but I can see how people die up there because you rely. I mean, I did so myself. Like you rely so heavily on oxygen. And if you have to wait a long time and you don't, and if your crew isn't as experienced and they're not, or you don't pay for enough bottles, like all of a sudden you run out way sooner, and then you just go sit down somewhere and you end up a statistic, and people are walking over your body on their neck on their quest for the summit.
Matt, thank you. Cool story. Really, really appreciate you taking time out of your day to share that with us, with everybody at this channel, and to the viewers. I cannot thank you enough that you've actually taken time out of your day to come to this channel to watch some of the videos. That's a privilege. I believe that very deeply, and I feel nothing but gratitude that you've taken time out of your day. Even if you don't like what you see, even the critics, even the people who disagree with the things that are happening on this channel, thank you for being here. I respect you. I cherish this opportunity to come together with people of like and similar interests. So please click subscribe, like this, share it with your friends, and also if you would like to comment and add to the conversation, love to hear what you think about this and any of the other videos. Be well. Thank you very much. Have a great day, and thanks again for being here.